Hello, my name's Mike Talty, I work for Microsoft in the UK, and this is one of a series of short screencasts around the topic of the networking stack in Silverlight 4, specifically Silverlight 4 Beta with Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2. The videos should hopefully make more sense if they're watched in order. We spent some time talking about HTTP and did a few things there, and then we switched and talked a little bit about TCP streaming sockets in the previous video. And what I want to do in this video, video number 9, is spend just a little time talking about UDP multicast sockets in Silverlight 4. That's actually a new feature of Silverlight 4. So let's pop this down and switch back over to Visual Studio. Okay, so we're here in Visual Studio, and if you watched the previous video, this is almost the same scenario, so you'd be kind of familiar with the pieces that we're plugging together, although we're plugging them together a different way. So what I have is a WPF application, and you've seen something a bit like this before. If we just spin it up, let's just spin this one up. Let's allow that. And we spin it up, and it's just an orange form with a red circle on it, and the circle follows the mouse around. And what's not immediately obvious is that when this thing first spins up, is it attempts to join a multicast group. And if we take a look at maybe spinning up a second or third one of these things, let's just go and spin up another one of those, and maybe a third one as well. It gets a bit tricky at 1024 by 768, but let's spin up three and see what we can do. So we got one there, and let's have another one up there. Oh dear, one there, one there, and one there. Okay, and you can probably just about see that what these things are doing is they are multicasting their positions around this group. So I can move the mouse in this one, or I can move the mouse in this one, or I can move the mouse in this one, and they're just multicasting, hey, this is where the circle is. And so pretty simple stuff, really. Let's just close that down. And I think if the way we look at the way those things are implemented, and it wasn't really code that was meant to be shown, but what happens is that when the app spins up, remember this is a WPF application on the full .NET framework, we use a class called UDP client, and effectively what we do is we bind it to port 1025. Now, this is not an arbitrary choice, because the Silverlight side of this, you can only use UDP multicast ports, I think, 1024 upwards. So anything 1024 and below, I think, is viewed as a sort of protected port, so that's why we chose 1025. And then this UDP client joins a multicast group, 224000. And from there on in, as the mouse moves and so on, effectively, it sends out its current coordinates to that multicast group, and we always have an outstanding asynchronous read on that multicast group. And when that completes, we attempt to read data from that multicast group, and if we get enough data, we move our mouse, or sorry, we move our red circle to the position that has come in from the multicast group. I can't say it. So that's really what this application is doing. And so from a Silverlight perspective, we can join and participate in multicast groups. There's kind of two sides to this. There's what's known an any source multicast group, which I guess is a group of machines where anyone can multicast. And then there's a single source multicast group, which is a group of machines where one person is multicasting. And they're both supported from the Silverlight side. Over on the Silverlight side at the moment, if we take a look at it, I've got a very similar application. So we've got a website here, which is hosting this Silverlight client here. And if we go and set this as my start project, and we go and just make sure that's my start page, and press F5, let's switch that on, then the Silverlight application runs up, and it displays an orange circle on the screen, and I notice at the moment that the circle is not following my mouse, so clearly I've broken my own application. Let's just see if we can fix that. I guess the problem is that on mouse move is not moving the circle. This is an interesting dilemma I've got into here. So let's just move the circle for the moment. I'm going to take that code out in a second. But as we move the mouse over this thing, you can see the circle follows the mouse around the screen. However, it is not currently communicating that to anybody. Much like in the last video, I've kind of abstracted the details of this Silverlight client's communication into a separate class called Communication. And Communication is intended to know how to send a point to the multicast group and how to fire an event when a point is received from the multicast group. And so my main code here simply expects to create one of those communication objects and be notified whenever a point is received, in which case it will move its own circle. And when the mouse moves, it tells that communication object to send that point to the multicast group. And move circle, just for reference, is trying to do the right thing in terms of making sure we're on the UI thread as objects come in and we get our own circle moved around the screen. And it's just kind of an interesting thing, really, in that ultimately I don't need this call to move circle here, because when my mouse moves in the Silverlight application, we will send that point out to the multicast group, and we are subscribers, or we will be subscribers to that multicast group. So as the mouse moves, we'll send a point out to a multicast group, we'll receive the point back, and we'll move our own circle as a response to that. I don't check, or I'm not planning to check, that data that comes from the multicast group didn't originate from me in the first place. So we ultimately don't need to move our own circle here. That was just to show you that the circle will move around just as we were showing it then. Hope that makes sense. Okay, so let's set about trying to implement this communication class over here. So there's a couple of classes we can use in Silverlight 4 for this work. There is the UDP any source multicast client and the UDP single source multicast client, depending on the kind of multicasting you're doing. So we're using any source multicasting, so let's go and call that UDP client. And at construction time, let's say this.udpclient equals new one of those. It wants an IP address and a port, so let's go for IP address dot parse. We're using 224.0.0.0 and a port of 1025 is what we're putting there. And then what we want to do is say this.udpclient.join, or sorry, begin join group. Everything again being asynchronous in Silverlight. Now this wants a callback, so I'm going to say on join completed. And I'm not going to pass any state across there. So we need to write that function. Let's just say on join completed. It's going to get an iasync result. So this is the traditional pattern for that kind of work in Silverlight. And I can see I've made a mistake up here. I should have done a bracket there and not there. So that's probably going to be better. Yeah. So on join completed, what we need to then do is say this.udpclient.endJoinGroup. And pass it that result. Now, of course, this could actually fail, so let's just try that for a minute and catch. I don't know what kind of exception to catch, so for the minute, let's just catch any old exception, which is obviously not good practice. And let's put a breakpoint there, and let's put a breakpoint there, and see if we can join this group. So what I need to do now, of course, excuse me, is spin up both of these applications when the thing starts. So let's go to our solution, let's go to its properties, let's go to multiple startups. And what I want to start is my WPF application, and I want to start my Silverlight web application afterwards. And at the moment, let's not start this other application. And if you watch the previous video, you'll know exactly where we're heading with this. Okay, so let's just spin this up and see what happens. And so our Silverlight clients over there, our main windows over here. Okay, so I've hit my breakpoint. Let's see if that works or fails. And it looks like we failed. That was a first chance exception we saw there. So let's have a look at that exception. What kind of exception was it? It was a socket exception. That's what we should have been catching. And you might spot on that socket exception, if you can just see its message. Let's just try and grab its message. Then what we're seeing is an attempt was made to access socket in a way forbidden by its access permission. So we weren't allowed to do what we just did. And if you watched the previous video about TCP sockets, it probably won't surprise you to know that in order to join a multicast group this way, there needs to initially be a policy server that allows you to join that multicast group. And again, I believe that this is regardless of whether you are currently a trusted application or not in the Silverlight beta. And so in terms of implementing a policy server, it's a bit more complicated than a TCP server, but because there's two different ways that policy can be served up depending on whether you're joining any source multicast group or a single source multicast group. However, don't worry too much about it, because again, in the SDK there's a pointer to an online example of how to implement a policy server, and so I have one of those just plugged in over here. I wrapped a simple console application against this code here, which came entirely from an online sample. I didn't write any of this policy server code here. I simply wrapped a console application around it. And that console application simply sets a configuration file and then starts one of these multicast policy servers, and that's it. So there's nothing really complicated about it in terms of getting one of those things up and running. It sits and listens on multicast port 9430, I think. It just depends on how that is located, because if you've got a single source multicast group, then it's possible to contact the single source and ask for policy as a unicast request. Whereas if you've got a multiple source multicast group or an any source, then you need to multicast out in order to get policy in the first place. But anyway, I go off into too many details. So we've got one of those things, and if we put that into our... let me just show you, by the way, its configuration file that it's running from. So bear in mind, this is not the policy file it returns, it's just a configuration file. And the configuration file is saying for any source multicasting, if the application is this one here, then it can have access to this group and this port. So let's go back to our solution, reconfigure this up to allow that policy server to run as well, and let's move it up so it runs first. Great. So let's go press F5 again and see if we get any more success. Let's allow that quickly. And let's just see, did that work any better than it did before? Yes, it looks like the Silverlight client has now actually managed to join that group. And if we were to go and look at the policy server, you can see that the policy server was contacted with a request to join 224.0.0.0 port 1025 from my application, and it sent an authorization packet saying, yes, that's okay, you can join that group. Okay, so we got past the security requirements and we're now actually in the group. Okay, so just to cut down the amount of code we've got on the screen, let's just chop out the exception handling for now. Obviously, it's not guaranteed that you will always be able to join a group. But having joined the group, we should be able to send points to it. So let's look at how we can send a point to the group. Well, I've already got a mechanism for turning that point into a bunch of bytes. So we can just say byte array bits equals point extensions dot to buffer with a point, and that will give me some bytes to send. And then what I should be able to do is walk up to the UDP client and ask it, so begin send to group, which is what I want to do. I can give it the bits I want to send. I can give it the offset, which is zero, the length, which is just the length of the array, and a callback. I'm just going to write that callback in line here. So let's just say result produces, and then we don't pass any state across, and that's kind of fine. So result just produces, in this case, I'm just going to say this.udpclient.endsendtogroup. And I'm just going to take my rosy view of the world and think that this thing will just simply work and I don't need to try and catch any exceptions there. So pretty simple if that works. We just say, hey, send this to the group, and out it goes to the group. Let's see if that works. Let's spin everything up. And what we should hopefully see is that the Silverlight app can now communicate with the multicast group. So let's see if it does. And you'll notice that it does, although it's not moving its own point anymore. I don't know what I did to that. Maybe we need to fix that. Oh yes, I know what I did to that. So at the moment you can see it's definitely sending its own mouse moves to that WPF application at the moment. But because it's not receiving from the group, it doesn't receive that coordinate itself and move its own circles. That's kind of interesting. But we'll fix that in 1 second. So you can see how that's working out. That's cool. Let's shut that all down. Let's go back over here. So the other side of this, of course, is to receive things from the group. And in order to receive things from the group, I'm going to want some kind of buffer to receive into. So let's just create a buffer, and what we'll do is at construction time we'll make sure we've got one of those. Again, this is a bit of a trick similar to the last video. I know that the serialized size of my data is 16 bytes, and so I'm just hard coding it here. It's a bit naughty, but we'll do it anyway. And I also need to keep track of how much stuff we receive, so I'm going to just keep a count of bytes received in order to do that. Okay, great. And what we want to do is when we have joined the group, we want to set up an asynchronous read. So let's say begin read, just write a function, begin read. And what begin read will do is we'll say this.udpclient.begin receive from group. We need to pass it a buffer, so that's going to be this.buffer. Oops, not now, this.buffer. We need to pass it an offset, so that's going to be this.bytes received already. How many bytes we're willing to receive, so that's going to be this.buffer.length minus this.bytes received already. Let me just put these onto separate lines. And we need to pass it a callback. So let's say on receive completed and some state, which we'll pass null. So then we need a function on receive completed, which is going to take an iasync result. We'll call that result. And in there, what we need to do is say this.udpclient.end receive from group, and we pass it the result. And it also wants an IP endpoint to tell you where this stuff came from. So we'll just say IP endpoint, endpoint, endpoint. And we'll just say out endpoint. And this returns received bytes, how many bytes it actually read. Now, we could use this IP endpoint to identify where stuff came from, but in my case, I'm not going to bother. I'm not going to care where anything came from. Even if it came from me, that's fine. I'm actually going to make use of that. And so what we can do now is work out how much data we've so far read. So I'm just going to say this.bytesReceived plus equals received bytes, which is really a bad name because those two things are confusing. Let's just say last received. Something like that. So that's how many we've received with the last read. And then we can say if this.bytesReceived equals this.buffer.length, then I have a whole packet's worth of data. If I don't, then it's fine. We'll just go round the loop again by beginning another read, which we'll want to do anyway. And if we do have a full packet's worth of data, then at the end of this I want to set my bytes received back to zero. Meanwhile, I want to grab that data, so I want to say point equals, I've got an extension method sort of that will take a buffer of bytes, so this.buffer, and turn that into a point. And then what I want to do is fire my event, so I can say if point this.pointReceived is not equal to null, then this.pointReceived from this object with a new point event args, where the point is my point. So, you know, we get enough data to extract a point, we check to see if anyone's listening. If they are, we tell them about it, and we reset things and go around the loop again. So let's build. Let's see if we got that right or wrong. And press F5 on this. Spin up our three pieces of software. And ideally, you can see that the Silverlight client is now responding, and it's also sending. And maybe if in the debugger, we can spin up maybe a couple more WPF clients. Let's just see if we can do that. Second one. Actually, let's just go with two, that's probably enough. And let's put that one there, and let's grab that one and put him over here. And let's grab the Silverlight application. Oh, Silverlight application and get him in the background nearly. Okay, so you get the idea that as we're moving one of these things on one of these apps, it's moving on the other apps as well in a very basic, simple way. And fundamentally, that's any source multicasting that we're doing from that Silverlight application. And once you know the details about that policy server and that there's one that you can download and just go and run, this stuff is really not that difficult. I mean, if you look at the code that we're using in order to do this, you know, the code for communication is what you see on the screen there, and that's a 14-point font with quite a lot of spacing in order to make it readable. So if you've got these kind of scenarios on your LANs, then it's really not that difficult in order to make this sort of stuff work with the new UDP multicasting support in Silverlight 4.